Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds, that we may hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this morning we want to have a closer look at the baptism of Jesus that we heard about in Luke's Gospel. For starters, we need to have just a bit of a closer look to John's baptism. But exactly what was it? Is John's baptism the same as our baptism? Are they different things? What's going on? And John's baptism is described in all the Gospels. And so when you put it all together, you do pick up the points of what's going on with John's baptism. And you've got to remember, John is coming as the last prophet of the Old Testament. He is making way for the new. He is making way for the Messiah that has been promised and talked about for hundreds of years is now upon us. It's the time. He is pointing towards what's about to happen. And we see here, just a bit earlier than the passage we read this morning, that he, and that's talking about John, went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was about turning around. It was about coming back to the God of Israel, coming back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, coming back, admitting how you had let him down, turning away from your sinful ways and dedicating yourself to God. And this proved, through the Holy Spirit of course, to be a very popular movement. Many were coming to John to be baptized. However, there was also many in Israel that thought that this was a load of nonsense. I am a circumcised son of Abraham. I am saved. I am a child of God. What do I need to turn around for? What do I need to confess? God has already done everything that I need through Abraham, through Moses. So there was also hostility towards what John was preaching. So it is a scene, when we look at John, very similar to the prophets in the Old Testament. Often, you know, think of Elijah and Elisha. Think of those guys in the Old Testament who's often coming to the king, often coming before the temple and saying, "Hey guys, you've got it all wrong. You need to focus on the Lord God. You need to follow his commands. Stop this nonsense and turn around." So what John is saying is nothing new. In fact, one could argue what John is saying is what God is saying throughout the whole Old Testament. Stop following your own way. Stop doing what's right in your own minds and hearts. Turn to me. That repenting, the word repenting means a turning around. So if we go through all the Gospels, this is basically what John's baptism was about. It was for the repentance and forgiveness of sin. That's quite obvious, isn't it? But that's the main message there. It looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Thus, as many commentators argue, it was intended to be temporary. If you're looking forward to something, when that something happens, then it's fulfilled, it's done. It was also looking forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit. John says things as we see. I baptize with water, but one who is coming is going to baptize with the Spirit, baptize with fire. John's not only looking forward to the Lamb who will take away the sins of the world, he's looking forward to the Holy Spirit that's going to be actively involved. It's this looking forward to what's coming, and in the sense of it's
imminent.
It's about to happen. In our baptism, of course, we are baptized into Christ's death. We are baptized with him into death. We are raised with him in the resurrection to life. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive all that he has done for us on the cross. We are adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. As you can see, there's a difference between the two, isn't it? But John's is looking forward to this. Now, we then see in that last bit that we read, when all the people were being baptized, what happened? Jesus was baptized too. Have you ever thought about that? About the question of why? What's John's baptism for? The repentance and forgiveness of sin. Jesus is the only one, we could easily argue, who doesn't need any type of baptism. Has he strayed from the path of righteousness? Has he ever turned his back on God the Father? No, he doesn't need repentance. He doesn't need forgiveness. As we also said, John's baptism is all looking forward to when he comes. And here he is. So why is he getting baptized? This is something we do need to think about, to come to grips. Jesus purposely does this, and all the Gospels do seem to indicate this is the start of his ministry. This is an important step that he needs to take. Why? And I want us to think a little bit about that. You may have, if you're here last Easter, have heard me raise this question before. Who was the greatest sinner to ever live? And you may think, yeah, I think that's a good answer. Luther would have given that same answer. And it's good if we realise how great our sin is and really don't care about other people's sin. We want to worry about our own sin. That's a brilliant approach, and I think that's where God wants us. But I'm thinking about this historically. We may think someone like Hitler. Yeah, Malcolm?
Jesus took all our sins on his own shoulders.
That's right. Jesus on the cross is the greatest sinner who ever lived, exactly because what Malcolm's saying here. This is what I'm getting at here. Have a look at these Bible passages. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took all our sin. He took all of humanity's sin, past, present, and future, all on himself, and paid the price so that we might receive his righteousness. We are put right with God, not through something we have done, but through everything that Jesus has done. But to do that, we often forget that price that Jesus paid. This is the cup that he wanted to pass away. Yes, you know, that wanted God to take away. Yes, he didn't. He in no way wanted to go through the pain and suffering, the physical pain and suffering of the crucifixion. He was a saved human being. No one would want to go through that. But even more so, it was taking on all that sin. And by taking on all that sin, he also faced the wrath of God for all that sin. The emotional, the spiritual horror that he went through. So our Lord Jesus, the one who was without sin, became the greatest sinner who ever lived for you and me. That's what the gospel's all about, isn't it? Never forget the sacrifice he made. Not just in dying, but that whole dying was about taking all our sin on him. There's a purpose in the dying, is what I'm meaning there. It's not that, oh, he died and had a good message. His death was for a purpose. It was for you. It was for me. It was for all of us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And not only does Paul say that, note Peter here. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So, this is virtually the same thing, isn't it? Coming now from Peter. This was something that the church preached strongly. This is something that the church still should be preaching strongly, and hopefully we are. It is through Christ we have been saved. It is through what he has done on the cross. So, how does this fit in with him being baptized? It's a look forward, in a sense, to what his whole ministry, what his whole purpose is. He has come to be our representatives. Jesus lived the life of righteousness, the life of a follower of the Most High God that you and I fail. Throughout his life, he redeemed us. He redeemed humanity. He is born, a physical birth. He redeemed birth. He was a baby. He was an infant. He was a child. He was a teenager. He was a young man. He's redeemed all of our stages of life. And as he was the one who was going to take on all of our sin, he starts the formal side of his ministry by being baptized, by taking the steps we need to take, not that he needs to take, but that we need to take. He is going to have our sins, and so in his baptism, he is even there at the start of his ministry, pleading to our Father for our repentance, for our forgiveness, as he does it in our stead. Because we're not even good at repenting, are we? We're not even good at turning around and following our Heavenly Father. Jesus even does that for us and sets the example for us. In his baptism, he fulfills everything that John's baptism is about. And in a few years following this, it will culminate in his death and resurrection, which will bring about all that John was looking forward to. Sadly, John won't live to see that, will he? But John is a true prophet. He points towards Jesus. Think about this, these verses. Notice that we've just talked about why Jesus was baptized. We talked about how the repentance and forgiveness fits in for someone who doesn't need it. But this one who was without sin is going to become sin. And we see that almost a premonition of that here, a foretaste of what was to come. But notice here in his baptism, remember John's baptism was looking forward to the Holy Spirit. And what do we see happening here? And as he was praying, as Jesus was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. The Holy Jesus' baptism starts to move towards our baptism, the receiving of the Holy Spirit as part of Jesus' ministry. And not only that, we hear a voice from heaven. The Father speaks, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." When we are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. At Jesus' baptism we see Father, Son and Holy Spirit. In our baptism we look back to Jesus' death and resurrection. But as you see, we're also looking back to his baptism. We're looking back to his life. One of the things that Paul and the other writers in the New Testament do is often use Jesus' death as a shorthand, or the cross as a shorthand for everything about Jesus. The incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and including in all that includes his baptism. It's a shorthand because all of that is necessary, isn't it? Yes, the cross is the pinnacle. And thus, Paul likes to use that as the summary point. And we as Christians use the cross as a symbol of our faith. Not because it is a torture device. Never forget that. Our symbol is a torture device. But rather, it reminds us of all that Jesus went through. Life, death, resurrection, the whole bundle. And so, in baptism, you too have received the Holy Spirit. In baptism, you are joined with Jesus' death and resurrection. In baptism, you too have the Father saying, "You are my son, you are my daughter." Not through eternal relationship, but through adoption. You are brought into God's family. Praise the Lord for our Lord Jesus, who has done so much for each and every one of us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.